Hello, everyone, and welcome to James's music podcast. My name is James Tucker, and today is Wednesday, the 27th of November, 2019. I was just doing a little tiny bit of recording, but unfortunately, right now, my guitar string has decided it wants to snap, so I'm kind of at a loss for words on that. I was going to play a couple of songs on this podcast, but it looks to me like I'm going to have to edit those songs in. But right now, let's kind of like just get into it. The first thing on my list is I know I haven't been recording any podcasts lately, and the reason for that is because I just haven't found time because of like my YouTube channel and everything else, like my music and all of that. So I haven't found the time to go forward and record a podcast plus edit it. My YouTube channel being kind of the main priority, as well as my music. That's where the whole that comes into play, but I try to do podcasts as many times as I can, but sometimes you just can't do it. So currently, if you guys have been following me on Twitter and Spotify and all Facebook and Instagram and all that, you will have heard that I've recently released two stones. It is now, that's my latest album, is now available on iTunes and Spotify and all streaming services where you can stream music from. The album itself, there's an issue with a couple of songs on the album, but I currently have a remastered version in review now, ready to be uploaded to the stores. So hopefully that will fix those issues. Other than that, that was the latest album to be released like 2 weeks ago, last week or whenever. I know that the album was originally planned to be on pre-order, but Apple had for some reason decided not to put the album on the store until kind of a little bit after the release day. So I do apologize for the confusion there. Google Play had it there ready to go, same with Amazon and everyone else. It's all ready, but Apple wasn't having any ball of it. But right now, it is now available on Apple Music and iTunes and all everywhere. My next album, at the moment, I haven't got any songs written or planned for the next album, but I have got two ideas. So the first idea, I want to do a Christmas album, so I need to look into getting licenses to see which songs are in the public domain and which songs are not in the public domain. And the second is that I want to do a ragtime album where it's a lot of piano rolls. That kind of means that I need to sort of get used to sheet music. I'm well aware of Scott Joplin's sheet music for like The Entertainer and Maple Leaf Rag and Leet Syncopations and all that. I'm aware of how he wrote, like his tempo, he stated a few times, not fast. It is never right to, he wrote physically on the sheet music, do not play this piece fast. Is never right to play ragtime fast, because ragtime is a ragged syncopation time. It's in, if you're used to music, it's in 2-4 time normally, so two beats per bar, so 1-2-1-2. It's the way the two beats per bar basically. So I'm looking into writing some music for Rags, which is going to be a bit different for me because I haven't really written sheet music before. I have, but I haven't done it in a full production scale where I need to actually pay full attention to every single note that I write down. Also because I don't play piano, because I have never really learned it. I do kind of know how to play like a C chord and an A chord and that. I know where the keys are. I just don't really know how to play piano at all, except for a couple of chords. The thing is, so I'm going to look into doing that, and because most of Scott Joplin's I think all of them are in the public domain. Don't quote me on that. I will check that out, obviously, before I go ahead about doing it. I can't remember if I mentioned I wanted to do a Christmas album, so Christmas carols. I was actually just starting to record some of those songs now, but my string on my guitar decided it wanted to break, so I'm kind of out of luck there. I'd still have my electric guitar with all the strings, luckily, but right now, for some strange reason, I cannot find my cable, that my little tiny cable that I use to plug my DI into my mixer. It's vanished. I'm going to have to tip the studio upside down to try and find it. The next order of business, so I'm gonna, this whole upcoming year, 2020, I'm going to be focusing 100% on music every minute of the day, as well as keep obviously up with my vlogs. So do subscribe to my YouTube channel, and yeah, the YouTube channel currently, off the top of my head, I've got like 15 subscribers, so if you do, please subscribe to my channel. Links can be found on Twitter and Facebook and all of that. It just helps me, the channel I use to sort of support my music, promote it, well, not necessarily promote it per se, but sort of get a bit, let you guys in on the background of how I write music, how I record and produce music. Right now, I'm not really in my studio per se. I'm just out on the side of my house recording this, because I was recording last night, and I recorded some ridiculous song last night that is currently in review to be uploaded to stores, so check it out. It's called Night Guitar, and it's actually a really good piece. It's about, I'd say, just over a little bit under a minute long. It's a little over a minute long. But the way I recorded the song was kind of a first for me, doing multiple overdubs. I have done that before in the past, but it's something I haven't really done, where I usually overdub if I've got a backing track, because then I don't need to play the instruments, because I don't really keep time and I don't remember what chord or key I'm in, let alone what notes I've been playing or what chords I've been playing. So I don't always overdub guitar on my music. Also, vocals on any of the stuff that I've written, I don't normally do, because I can never remember where I've started, where I've stopped. I just don't, because of my ADHD, I don't remember where I've... I just can't remember it. I don't pay much attention to where I'm at in the song. I just basically record in the now. So that's how really that works. It's just give or take. It's one of those things that you just, yeah. If you've been following me on, Twitter and Facebook and all that. Oh, for some reason, my... Hold up. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that we were still recording. My cat just came in here and has decided to lay down on the floor inside of the doorway. So that's a very good safety situation, isn't it? Anyway, yes, she is looking at me. I recently created a new email address. So if you guys have any song ideas that you want me to record or could help me write, do send me those through email to songideas.jamestuckermusic@gmail.com. And I will try and formulate those into songs, or if you've got a full song written, I can record that. Just send me the lyrics, and I need a written and signed document stating that you give me permission to use the song, to record it and release it. But do send me those. It will help me also formulate ideas as to what I could or what I should write and record. It may be different to what you're kind of like expecting, but it's better than nothing. Currently listening to this real time at the moment, and for first my microphone decides it doesn't want to go because that feedback, the electrical feedback, it's so annoying to get rid of sometimes, especially if it doesn't want to go. So yeah, my cat's meowing at me. So with music, what many people don't know is that I've been in the music industry. Yeah, I'd say industry. Let's say this. I got my first guitar when I was 6 years old, back in 2004. And ever since then, I have actually been basically playing guitar every single day of the week, ever since I got it. I've been writing songs since 2007, and the evolution of the way I've written my songs, let alone recording them, has changed a lot. Originally, I started writing rock songs, but not heavy rock or heavy metal sort of stuff, but more soft rock. I would say sort of rock and roll, but not necessarily rock and roll. Kind of like Green Day, just and The Clash, just sort of classic rock era. And then it sort of evolved into country, before going to a little bit of bluegrass and back to rock and rock and roll, currently rockabilly. So I'm kind of all over the place. I sort of stay away from pop, however, you could sort of class my music as being a little bit of pop. As you all know, I sort of can't stand electronic music. I can't stand fake instruments. If you can't physically replicate that sound on a live stage or a physical instrument, then it's not real music. So for example, if you're a hip-hop or rap musician, when you're playing live, and say for example there's a power cut or it's a technical difficulty, and you don't have that backing track playing in the background while you're singing, that will look very bad on you in the long run, because it's like, where's the music? Whereas if you're playing it physically, you have that. If there is a power cut, you can still kind of hear the music because you're playing it. So that's where electronic music comes in. Is the issue with that being is, like I said, if there's a power cut, you're live, it's going to be very embarrassing if there's any technical difficulties, especially if you can't physically replicate the same sound. It's what I can't stand trap or any of that with the drum kits, especially because it's not a real drum kit. That very thin hi-hat or very thin crash, you can't replicate that sound anywhere physically. Same with the snare and all that, you cannot physically replicate it. I do use Sibelius, and I do use GarageBand a lot, but I only use the acoustic instruments that are available on the app because it sounds like a real drum, and if I was playing it live and I got a drummer in, then they can play the same song with an acoustic set of drums. That's why I always use acoustic. And yes, I understand where the methodology with electronic music comes in, but at the same time, if you can't physically replicate that music, that sound, it's fake. It's not real. It's actually could be sort of, wouldn't want to say insulting per se, but to earlier musicians like Beethoven or Scott Joplin or just anyone like Mozart, anyone like that, Tchaikovsky, anyone who played physical instruments and made really, really good music, if you can't replicate that, and say, for example, I got I can't remember who it is, and I don't, it's like Morning Sunrise or something, I honestly don't know what it's called, but you know, the one that goes, that, you know what I mean, it's done in the violin orchestra. If I were to play that on violin say GarageBand, it may sound similar, but it's not really as live and as human realistic as the original recording. Or if I play like Yakety Sax or something like that, it's not the same, because me going if I did that on a keyboard with that fake, horrible sounding saxophone that's available, it's not good. And if like Boots Randolph ever heard it, I'm not sure if he's alive or not, but he would not be happy, because it doesn't sound authentic or the same. However, as I mentioned before, piano, because MIDI, musical instrument digital interface, is played pretty much on keyboard, the keyboards I would go electronic with, if I don't have a physical keyboard. But if I want piano sound, however, and a particular type of sound, like a real old vintage honky-tonk piano, then I would hunt one down and record it physically, because I will not be able to replicate that same warm sound, that crisp, warm feeling sound. I wouldn't be able to replicate that anywhere. I wouldn't be able to do it on Sibelius. I wouldn't be able to do it on Ableton. I wouldn't be able to do it on Pro Tools. I wouldn't be able to do it anywhere. It's one of those sounds that you have to be there in the moment to do. And it's the same with like Ragtime. Yes, I can insert the sheet music into Sibelius and play it, but it won't sound as the same as if I were playing it on a 1915 piano. But it's I always say music should be an expression of yourself and not necessarily an expression of somebody else. So do what's best for you. Just in my personal opinion, it's better to have a physical sounding instrument that you can replicate the same sound through physical means, other than using anything electronic. What I often do, and it's quite interesting, is I will hop on my bike, grab the microphone, and run over gutter grates, or flip my bike upside down and just pedal backwards so it gets and record the clicking of the gears. So that would kind of sound kind of like a maraca or a shaker. I like doing weird sounding recordings that nobody ever thinks to record, because it's not natural. And well, it is natural, but it's not a normal means of making music. I've always said you can make music with anything. You could say grab some Lego and build a building and record the sound of the pieces clicking together, and that could be useful like percussion. Or you could go find some old bottles and smash them on the concrete, and that could be like your crash cymbal for drum kits. Buckets, get some buckets, record some buckets with a dynamic microphone, and that could be like your tom-toms or your snare. You could, grab a peg and hang washing on the line and record the sound of that, and that could be used as like shakers or something. I don't know, but it's up to you. The possibilities are limitless when it comes to recording music, and it's better to record something physical than to record something electrical, because as I mentioned a couple of times now, you have less room of failure than if you were to, say, lose your entire hard drive. Your laptop or computer, everything becomes corrupt, and you don't have a backup, which, by the way, everyone should have a backup. The thing is that you don't necessarily have... You can't replicate that sound again. And if you're just about to head out on stage, you're going to be very embarrassed because you don't have that song ready. One thing I don't always like is the sound of... I mean, I don't mind voices where they're edited, like put through a flanger or a phaser or something like that, and just like edited. The only issue that I have with that is when you're, again, going back to live, sometimes you don't have the technology. Sometimes the physical technology doesn't exist and you can't do it. And you have to sit there lip syncing, and if you forget your lyrics and for some reason your mouth stops moving and your song's playing, it's not looking too good on your side. So physical instruments are the way to go. But I think that's going to wrap up today's, I was just about to say vlog, but today's podcast on music. Take it in mind. Physical over digital, the best way to go is physical, because, as I mentioned, you can replicate it easier, less room for failure, and it sounds so much better, and your imagination is limitless. Cars going down the street sounds a lot better than a fake shooting star. If you want to do electronic music, I suggest think. Do I really want this sound? Do I want to be playing this for a live audience? How do I replicate this onto something physical? And will it last longer on a record, or will it last longer over lifetime than what we currently know as, say, classical Baroque era music from the 1700s and 1800s? Does it sound the same as, will it sound the same like that in the next 100, 200 years as it did back then? So keep that in mind. And yeah, my name is James, and I'll see you guys in the next podcast. Thank you for listening.